Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Heaven knows I'm miserable now.
Well, this will cheer you up, Patrick. We're talking about the Smiths. Okay, it's day two of Slicing Up Eyeballs Week.
Mm-hmm.
Here on Rockin' the Suburbs, your favorite podcast. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We are out on the deck. We are drinking some DC Brow, the Corruption that Bud brought over.
Mm-hmm. Kind enough to bring a little local brow.
We're kind of already through these, so I think we're going to switch over to the Founders All Day IPA in my fridge. So if anybody wants that, just let me know. Did I introduce myself? Yes, I did. I'm Jim Lenihan.
You are Jim Lenihan, and I am Patrick Foster.
And with us here on the deck, we have Bob Popick.
Thanks for having me once again.
Bud Verge.
Pleasure to be here again.
Rob Gates.
Great to be here, Jim.
And then on Skype, we have Matt Sebastian of Slicing Up Eyeballs.
Glad to be back.
Yes. And all this week, we're talking about classic 80s alternative bands and some reader polls that Matt has done on slicingupeyeballs.com. Mm-hmm. You can go check out the results there. And the topic for today is the Smiths. But before we do that, a couple things. Matt, do you have a new poll coming out soon?
We have a Depeche Mode one underway.
Oh,
all right. So hopefully, based on the timing of when this goes up, people will be able to vote on Depeche Mode songs.
Yes.
Yes.
I hope so. Do you know when the deadline is when you have to have the votes in?
I don't yet, but it'll be
all right
in a week or two.
All right. People get on that. And
speak and spell.
And that one other piece of business that I have to mention, guys, real quickly, because Patrick, we forgot to do this in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We should mention that we were guests on another podcast recently, and people can go hear us on that show. The podcast is called Set Lusting Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
And we were guests on that recently, and we talked about perfect pop songs by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. And I had several drinks and was very emotional. So I would encourage everyone to go listen to that.
If you really want to hear, if you really want to get the full Patrick experience.
Yes. You can certainly get it there.
The experience that I've witnessed many times, you can definitely get it there. Because we recorded that after we, I think, recorded some of our own show.
We'd been down in the basement for quite a while. I sort of lost track of time and space.
And anyone who listens to this show regularly knows, you know, that we tend to have a few drinks while we record.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine post-recording, doing somebody else's show, what that's going to sound like. So go check that out. Set Lusting Bruce. You can find that on all the big podcast platforms. Okay. So today we're going to talk about the Smiths. And we have two real experts here in the conversation. But, I mean, I think everybody here has a fondness for the Smiths.
Oh, certainly.
So Matt, you know, put together the poll, and we'll go through those results as well. But Bob here actually did his own very meticulous rankings of all the Smith songs that you posted on Facebook. Is that right?
Correct.
You did?
Yeah.
So first off, Bob, tell us a little bit about, you know, your music background, what you do for a living, and then tell us how the Smiths ranking that you put together came about.
Well, I'm a wedding DJ. I also work for the Baltimore Orioles and the Baltimore Ravens as their team DJ.
Very cool.
As well as Navy football for their team DJ. So the way this came about is it all has to do with Mr. Sheffield. Rob Sheffield from Rolling Stone made a list. And I don't want to be too critical of Rob because it is a work. I mean, it does take some thought. And he did, and you could tell he did think a great deal on his list. For me, any song that doesn't have a Morrissey lyric really shouldn't gain popularity over another. So I put really the instrumentals at the back end, and then kind of did my ranking. And not necessarily the songs that I feel are the best, you know, Smith songs. I went with songs that were kind of most important to the band, and that's why I may have like How Soon Is Now ranked number one.
Mm-hmm.
Girlfriend in a Coma ranked higher than Mr. Mm-hmm. Verge would like it ranked, but so I went with some personal feelings, and then I looked at the importance of how the song was to the band. And they're important.
And you also did a yeoman's job, Bob, by writing up more than one or two sentences pretty much about every song. I mean, you wrote a very thoughtful kind of, you know, summary of why it's ranked where it's ranked and how you came to put it there. So that's very impressive.
I'm hoping,
Jim, that Bob will allow us to reproduce at least some of his post on our episode page.
Please do.
I would love that. So
please
people
do.
Can go see this very thoughtful work.
Yeah.
Please post it all if you want.
I would love to do that.
So just to clarify here, because we're talking about several different rankings and polls.
Yes, that's right.
So Bob, you were inspired by a ranking done by Rolling Stone.
Correct.
Right.
But Slicing Up Eyeballs poll was on my radar.
Okay.
And I wasn't too critical of that because that is a reader's poll.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could take that a lot better than just one man's opinion.
Right.
So let's talk about your rankings for a second here. Tell me where you want to start here. Do you want to start with what's at the top, or do you want to count down in some way, or people want to know what Bob Popick thinks.
Okay,
about the Smiths.
we can kind of go. The way I did this ranking and my thought process was going bottom, middle,
mm-hmm.
and then top.
Right.
And it kind of almost broke in thirds perfectly the way I wanted to rank.
Got it.
And where we're getting to maybe like song number 30, that's my meat and potatoes. So basically the way I started was, like I said, the instrumentals were at the bottom of the list. Then, you know, a song by Twinkle, Golden Lights, was at number 71.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, What's the World, a song that was written by James, followed that. Marie and the Latest Flame, an Elvis song, was after that, so at 69. So
right. You're not going to go through all
74.
Okay, all right.
No, but you can get me going on the Smiths. Right. You know how I'm excited already. So that's basically my process. I was breaking it up in the third.
Okay. And, so let's hold that for a little bit. We'll get back to your top 10. But, Matt, what came out on top in the readers' poll?
So, yeah, we ran a readers' poll asking people to vote for 25 of their favorite songs. I think we got something like 70,000 votes. And the song that came out on top was the one I would have definitely predicted, There's a Light That Never Goes Out,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of the quintessential Smith song, the sort of centerpiece of the Queen is Dead album. Take me out tonight. Driving in your car, I never, never want to go home, because I haven't got one anymore. Take me out to my way, because I want to see people and I want to see life. Driving in your car, oh please don't drop me home, because it's not my home, it's their home, and I'm welcome no more. And if a double-decker bus crashes into us, that was number one, and How Soon Is Now was number two, which I could have seen that coming in number one, but I figured There's a Light would get the sort of sentimental push.
I feel like There Is a Light has gotten bigger over time. Am I right about that?
It has almost become the fan anthem.
Right.
You know, when you're at a show and Morrissey performs that song,
mm-hmm.
it is the song sung by all the fans.
Yeah.
And it almost drowns out his voice. And even after he leaves the stage, you hear them singing.
Yeah. And there was a fairly recent biography that took that song as the title of the biography of the Smiths. So people seem to think that kind of sums up, you know, the career arc, the story.
And the lyrics are almost what you would write if you were trying to write a spoof Smith song.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's that stereotypically Morrissey.
Well, and then I remember, you know, the line, the famous line of the song, "If a 10-ton truck kills the both of us to die by your side, what a the pleasure and privilege is mine."
Yeah.
It just rolls off the tongue. I didn't do it. It didn't roll off my tongue. The beer is kind of, you know, taking hold. But I mean,
I know the feeling.
You know, it's sort of that cliche campiness of Morrissey's writing that mm-hmm. really hooks you.
That's well said. Yep.
He's underrated for, I think, how funny his lyrics are.
Absolutely.
And the dark humor. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to short think his writing, you can say he's depressing. But there's so much camp and there's so much dark humor that it lasts you for 100 years, you know?
Yeah.
So.
He sharpened his wit writing letters to the NME and Melody Maker, right? Correct. And is kind of a New York Dolls fanboy, but he wrote some extremely funny things and said some very funny things about, you know, other music and his own band.
Well, and he pokes fun at it himself. I mean, in The Queen Is Dead, you know... there's a lyric, "I know you and you cannot sing. That's nothing. You should hear me play piano."
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, you know.
And I forget what his famous line, was it about the Band-Aid song, about inflicting misery on innocent citizens of Britain? It's one thing to raise money for starving children, but another thing to inflict daily misery on the people.
That's funny.
With that song, yeah.
Well, you almost feel like when you listen to his songs that he's going through like sort of a sense of like self-therapy himself. You
certainly.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And,
correct.
And you can like hear that come through. So anyway, okay. So let just real quickly here, Matt. So some of the other songs in the top, you know, this poll, the top of it did not really surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. It kind of went as you might predict. So you mentioned There's a Light That Never Goes Out. Number one, How Soon Is Now. Number two, This Charming Man. Three, 4, Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want. 5, Big Mouth Strikes Again. 6, Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now. 7, The Boy with a Thorn in His Side. 8, Stop Me If You Think You've Heard This One Before. 9, Panic. And 10, What Difference Does It Make? I don't think there's really any surprises there, right?
Number 10 would be my choice, probably, for my favorite Smith song.
Okay. I think the only surprise I saw was that Girlfriend in a Coma was 17.
Yeah,
just because it was kind of a hit, MTV hit or that kind of thing, right?
That's, you know, and Mr. Verge and I go back and forth because we're friends, and he's like...
As Bud shakes his head.
You know,
that is the worst song ever.
But see, for me, it's the importance of the band. You know, MTV put Girlfriend in a Coma in heavy rotation.
Right.
So, and it was
just
really...
Just as they're breaking up.
Correct, yeah, exactly. Correct. And, you know, for me, I mean that song spoke volumes as its importance to the band.
Mm-hmm.
Again, very campy, dark humor that is dripping with dark humor. So it's one of my favorites. Girlfriend in a coma, I know it's serious. Girlfriend in a coma, I know. It's really serious. There were times when I could have murdered her, but you know I would hate anything to happen to her. No, I don't want to see her. Do you really think she'll pull through? Do you really think she'll pull? I put it at 11 because of Verge, but I would have ranked it a little bit higher, but I took his feelings.
So we need Bud's thoughts here.
Yeah.
On Girlfriend in a Coma?
Yes, and Smith in general.
Once again, with these polls, it's really tough to pick your favorite songs, but the thing that I ran into with this song is there's the one song that you're supposed to pick,
yeah,
which is the one that's the most important for the band, and that everyone agrees that's the most important one for the band. And then there's that song that you love that, you know, when you're driving home and you pull into your driveway and the song's only a third of the way in and you decide, I'm not ready to go in the house yet. I'm going to sit here and right. roll this one out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my number one is going to be How Soon Is Now, because that's my song that, you know, I love all 6 or 7 minutes of it, the long version. I love that guitar. I love the Johnny Marr guitar. You know, and yeah. I realize the importance of There Is a Light, but it just, it's a little too syrupy for me. And I realize it's an important song, but it's not my favorite Smith song. Mm-hmm. And actually, my second favorite Smith song is Rush Home Ruffians.
With
Murray
song.
Is the name of his latest flame, kind
Correct.
Of merged into that yeah. one.
And that was off their live album, Rank.
The last night of the fair, by the big wheel generator, a boy stabbed his money, is grabbed in the earth and set it up a dull wine. She is famous, she is funny, an engagement ring doesn't mean nothing to a man who thinks by breath is funny. The last night of the fair, from a seat on a whirling roadside, a skirt has sent for a watching night.
Johnny Marr, I think wrote in an interview that he stole the guitar lick from... Marie's the latest flame.
Oh, is that right?
For Rush Home Records, uh-huh. yeah.
Now, let me ask both of you guys, or everybody, do you listen to the Smiths a lot now? Because I find it's a band I don't go back and listen to a whole bunch, but part of it is because I've got it all up there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like encoded. It's stamped on my gray matter, so I can recall all these songs in my head right now, and people are bringing them up and know exactly how they sound. But do you guys still, you know, actively listen to the Smiths a lot?
I listened to it for the hour drive that I came down
did
here.
Did you?
I did. I have MP3 made with 77 Smith songs.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was playing.
That's
and,
very cool.
And Bud mentioned something about that driveway song where you don't get out of the car. Half a Person for me.
Is that
yes.
one. Mm-hmm.
And on the poll, it's only ranked at 31.
Yeah.
Shocking to me.
Correct. Yeah. And for me, that is lush in lyricism and music. It is an awesome song, and I was surprised at how low that was
yeah.
on the poll.
Yeah.
Call me morbid, call me pale. I've spent 6 years on your trail. 6 long years on your trail. Call me morbid, call me pale. I've spent 6 years on your trail. 4 years of my life on your trail. And if you have 5 seconds to spare, then I'll tell you the story of my life. 16, clumsy and shy, I went to London and died. I booked myself in at the Y, WCA. Said, I like it here, can I stay? I like it here, can I stay? Do you have a vacancy for a back scrubber?
one I would, a lot of people think of.
That might be my favorite. That I was trying to decide what my favorite would be. Maybe that, or maybe Cemetery Gates.
Right.
Because I'm a journalist, and that's an anti-plagiarism song.
Yeah, right.
But to go back to How Sooners Now, you know, that is a song I was happy to see it not win, because that is a song that, while I recognize its importance in the role of the band, man, that's one I don't need to ever hear again.
Yeah, certainly had them played a lot.
And I understand why it is what it is. And frankly, I recently read Johnny Marr's autobiography, which is fantastic. Mm. And his description of writing that song was really amazing. I'm the opposite. You know, I get why that song is what it is, but that's one that I can't get behind anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just heard it so many times.
It is my favorite Smith song. I think it's a great song. There's a lot going on there. The lyrics are great. The guitar is great, has been referenced.
Now, and for me, I very much understand what Matt's saying with that song. I mean, I've heard it to death. But for me as well, being a stadium DJ, it's one of the rare Smith songs I'm able to play.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'll play that at Camden Yards, or I'll play that at MTPEG Stadium. I'll even play it at Navy. And actually, the guitar riff, the beginning of the song, makes for a good kickoff song.
Oh, yeah. So with the tremolo, yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then that guitar, that screaming guitar comes popping in, yeah. And boom, you know.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I never get sick of that song. It's because of that unique sound to it, that way that sideways kind of screaming guitar comes
correct.
In, and that Bo Diddley beat that's kind of like almost kind of understated in it. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the tremolo. I mean, it's such a unique song to me. I don't ever get tired of that song.
No, but I see Matt's point.
Yeah.
Being a Smiths fan, okay, gosh, you know. What I really do hate is they made a 7-inch edit of the song.
They did.
You
I
know, which
that.
Is,
that
was, what, 4 minutes?
Yeah, it was kind of like a crime.
You're killing me, so.
Or that they crammed it onto the U.S. release of Meet His Brother.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that was one of the songs that was re-released in 1992, 1993, along with This Charming Man. They had a re-release. I think Warner Brothers did that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I think there was was it Shakespeare's Sister along with that, too, at a 1992, 1993 release, re-release, after, 7 years after the band's broke up.
Yeah.
Band broke up.
The thing I found interesting about that song is I've looked at YouTube videos of Morrissey doing it solo and Johnny Marr doing it solo.
Mm-hmm.
And in each case, you know, when Marr does it, the guitar is great. The vocals are just not there. And when Morrissey does it, the vocals are great, but the guitar is just
I would agree.
Not there.
I would agree wholeheartedly, yeah.
And it's just the song. It takes two of them to really, you know, make it work.
That's a good point.
Matt, you were going to say something?
No, I was going to say I completely agree. I've seen them both do that song, and man, Morrissey's the instrumentally sounds terrible, but but Johnny Marr, you know, he does a lot of Smith songs when he plays, but it's not the same. It's great to hear him playing those songs on guitar again finally.
Yeah.
Okay, so we mentioned that Bob had put together this meticulous list of his own rankings.
It's fantastic.
With like a paragraph on each song, right?
Yep.
And you said we can put some of this stuff up on
our
website, right?
Please do. Oh, it'd be fabulous.
But here, I'm going to put you to the test here. I'm going to go through your top 10. We're going to count down from 10 to 1.
Sure.
But just give me like one sentence on each song,
okay?
All right. So you have number 10, Meat is Murder.
Vegetarian anthem. It's important for that sense. When you hear the start of the grinding knife, you know, and the cow mooing, and then you hear almost the horror film guitar at the beginning, you're locked in, and then when Morrissey starts with the lyrics, you're sold for 1,000 years. On that song.
Number 9, Paint a Vulgar Picture.
Well, it's the world that every Smiths fan lives in today. I mean, you know, we're just waiting for the reissue, repackage, remastered, deluxe edition. You know, all the adjectives that you want to put to it. It's what every Smiths fan lives in. We're waiting. I'm anticipating The Queen Is Dead in October. So, and then I just heard that Morrissey's releasing a new album in November. But I'm really anticipating Queen Is Dead.
All right. Number eight. You don't need to comment on this now because I think we're going to talk about it later in the week. This Charming Man.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. Number seven, Miserable Lie.
For me, hearing that as a young teenage, I wanted to know what the heck was a Wally Range. And Wally Range to me, I found out, was a seedy kind of motel on the outskirts of town. And it was really... Morrissey's go at a relationship with a woman, and I love the line, a smile comes on her stupid face, and well it would, I've lost my faith in womanhood. So to me, that song is very campy. I love it to death.
Okay, number six, The Queen Is Dead, Take Me Back to Dear Old Blighty.
Again, another campy song. I love the lyric that Morrissey writes in or sings about. I know you when you cannot sing. I said that's nothing. You should hear me play piano. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Makes you laugh out loud. Campiness. And we all know Morrissey's disdain for the royal family.
Number five, Half a Person.
Again, that's my driveway song, can't get out of the car. It's the lyrics are funny, being on somebody's trail, following them to London. So I don't necessarily know if you know it's a guy or a girl, but he's following something.
That's
somebody.
Right.
Number four, There Is a Light That Never Goes Out.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's the fans' anthem. It speaks for itself. I mean, it's double-decker bus, Kills the Both of Us. It's campy. It's dark humor. It's our fans' anthem.
Okay. Number three, Big Mouth Strikes Again.
And I don't know about the 100% story of this song. I think it goes that Robert Smith, a Cure song, knocked a Smith song out of a poll or a top 10 listing or whatever. And then I'm not sure if it was Johnny Marr and Morrissey in conjunction, but wanted to respond to the song that knocked the Smith song out. So if you hear the acoustic guitar in it, it's very much like a Cure song, like In Between Days.
Got it. Okay. Number two, Stop Me If You Think You've Heard This One Before.
That, to me, is my personal favorite song ever by the Smiths.
Oh, wow.
I will uncover that now, but I just love that song. This song moves with urgency. Stop me, oh, stop me. Stop me if you think that you've heard this one before. Stop me, oh, stop me. Stop me if you think that you've heard this. It's an awesome song. I can get away with playing that at a stadium at any time.
That must place it pretty high on your overall songs of all time, then.
Yes, yeah. Most certainly. I mean, the campiness, the he broke my knee, broke my spleen, then he really lays into me. lyrics have me hooked.
And then number one,
We got How Soon Is Now.
How Soon Is Now.
Of course. To me, that speaks to the importance for the band.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the song that was on my radar before I got into the Smiths. We knew the song, or at least I knew the song. It was around. I was listening to it, but I really wasn't clued in until I stole that tape at a party of Hatful of Hollow.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic. Right.
Yes, and you have a story about that tape and how you lost it, right?
Yeah. So
can you tell that real quickly?
I was at a beach party, 85, Ocean City, Maryland. I was invited to a party. Good friend of mine. He's a super guy. I've apologized 10 times over to him to replace the cassette of A Hatful of Hollow. I was playing all night. I'm like, who is this man? Not only do I need to know who it is, I need to steal the cassette.
Yeah.
So I stole the cassette, had it in my tape player, couldn't get it out of the tape player.
Love it.
And it was just stuck in there forever. I would listen to it all the time. The engine block cracked. I never got the cassette out of it, and that's where it died.
The cassette died with the car.
With the car, yes.
Very poetic. Morrissey would appreciate
that. Exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. That's a Smiths kind of story, right? All right. Well, thanks, Bob. This is great.
Oh, fantastic stuff,
I really
Bob.
Appreciate it.
I think I get a sense that you have a love for this band.
Oh, most certainly. Yeah. Just a tinge, yeah.
And I would encourage everybody to go to our site and read the full rundown for themselves. It makes for excellent reading.
It's quite detailed, and at the end he says he'll never do this again for any other band.
You know, I'm like, you know, when I started at 74 songs, I'm like, I can knock this out in a couple hours.
Yeah.
3 days later, I'm like at song 23. I'm like, I need to finish. So I could see how someone could get lazy with a project like this.
Yeah, sure.
But I kind of wanted to see it through.
We're glad you powered through.
Thank you.
That's great.
And I think you posted it at 3:18 in the morning. So I can see you all fueled up on coffee and bourbon trying to get through this thing.
Yeah.
3:18 in the morning. I'm 6 or 7 hours asleep by then.
We'll see. And then again, I'm a night owl. I mean, I'm up till, you know, I'm a DJ. And before I became the Orioles and Ravens DJ, I was a club DJ. I was a bar DJ. So I get home at 2:30, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and I remain that same schedule. And I wake up at 1 or 2.
And how do you feel about the lyric "Hang the DJ"?
I love it.
Oh, okay,
it's such a play. I love that. It's awesome. I play up to it. There have been a couple times where I specifically have played it for myself that people hopefully sing along and point to me. You know, so.
That's great. All right, this has been fun.
Oh, really fun.
All right, thanks again, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, and Matt, tell people where they can find the Smith's reader poll.
Go to slicingupeyeballs.com and just search Best of the Smiths in the little search box.
And also, you know, the site slicingupeyeballs.com just has tons of news about, you know, 80s alternative bands, the legacy of college rock is what the site is called. And there's just, you know, news about what the bands are doing today and reissues and all kinds of stuff. It's a fantastic site for anybody who's into that kind of music, which I know a lot of our listeners are.
Certainly are. And you can get a really cool bumper sticker with cassettes on it there.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Love the stickers.
Yeah.
Love that people send in photos to your site of their cassette collections.
It's really great.
It's fantastic. Also love that someone once submitted a podcast to your site.
Yes.
An interview with a very famous musician. That was really cool.
That was
very cool to do that. So, okay. And then you can find Rock in the Suburbs on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, or any big or small podcast platform.
Yep.
And you can also visit our website, which is suburbspod.com. We mentioned that we'll put Bob's stuff up there.
Yep.
You can also call our Suburban Party Line and tell us about the Smith songs you like best. That number is 612-440-1984. Or if you just really are kind of shy, you don't feel like talking, you can email us instead, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on the social medias at Suburbs Pod. So there's other ways to engage.
Yep.
And I think we should do this again tomorrow.
Why not?
And talk about another band that we kind of sort of like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, R.E.M.
Rapid Eye Movement.
Kind of a favorite.
All right. We'll do that tomorrow. Matt, you'll join us again?
Of course.
We got Excellent. Your number. And with that, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Bob Popick.
Bud Verge.
Rob Gates.
And thanks again, Matt Sebastian. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. I'm the DJ.
we're entering my wheelhouse.